Welcome into Brew House South in Cool Springs. It is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth alongside Chase McCabe of Darren Donick and Chase and the Predators Radio Network.
Hello.
Chase, how are we doing this evening?
I am doing great. It's good to be here at Brew House South. Got a lovely crowd on hand.
Big crowd already. Mike Fisher.
They're here to see us, not Mike Fisher, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mike Fisher will be here 1 hour from now for Smashville Live alongside Braden Gall. Should be a whole lot of fun. Whole lot of people already out to see the former captain. The power of Mike Fisher. He hasn't played since the end of the 2018 postseason for the Nashville Predators. And you look out here, and this place is already packed 1 hour ahead of time before.
Yeah.
He's one of these chairs.
He's still a Nashville darling, for sure.
He has
stayed here and raised his family and still very involved in the organization. So excited to have him come out and be a part of Smashville Life tonight. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about him later, but I know he's enjoying what he's seeing on the ice by the Preds right now.
One of the top Predators of all time, like you said.
Yeah.
We'll get to that here in a little bit later on in the show, but one of the top members of this organization's all-time history. It's going to be a lot of fun to see him again, hear how he's doing, how dad life is treating him. I know he has a big clay shoot event coming up later this month, so that should be a lot of fun coming up at 7 o'clock. But right now, the Preds have played 15 games Monday night. They were in Detroit, 6-1 win against the Red Wings. They will play the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow night in the Rocky Mountains. Pregame at 7, puck drop at 8, all the action heard on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So 15 games is a pretty good sample size. This isn't three or four games that we've seen of this Preds team. 15 games is a pretty good barometer, even though it's 1 month in. Kind of overall, I know we're going to get into some things we've liked, things we haven't liked, but overall, how would you assess what you have seen through 15 games in which the Preds have gone 9-4-2?
That this is a pretty good hockey team. I think that's the best way to put it. I definitely think they're steps ahead of last year's team and a lot of the same players. You know, the biggest difference being Matt Duchene in, PK Subban out. That's really the biggest change. Dan Lambert has made a big difference being the third assistant coach. We've seen the power play, light years ahead of where they were. But they're good from top to bottom. I think the biggest thing that has stood out to me, Ryan, is you look at the opponent tomorrow night, the Colorado Avalanche. They're missing two of their best players, and they've lost three in a row. They've struggled. The Nashville Predators were missing Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene for a period of time, and they didn't really miss a beat. You saw everyone else pick up the slack, and they move forward. That shows you how deep this team is, and kudos to David Poile and his staff for building it that way. And I also think that speaks to not making a ton of major changes. They made a big change, but they didn't change everything. And I think now you see this team really clicking on all cylinders. I think Peter Laviolette is almost refreshed. He's got new ideas coming in with Lambert, as we mentioned. So right now, I just think they're a pretty good team.
Well, I think the depth is a big part of that. You mentioned the depth, but the depth is playing better than the depth played last year.
Yep.
I think that's a big part of this, is that last year they tried to hang their hat on Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, and Victor Arvidsson on way too many nights.
Yep.
And that's not to say they didn't get anything from the other lines, but the production from the other lines was too inconsistent, and we are seeing the value now early on in this season, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of the President's Trophy winning season two regular seasons ago when everybody was contributing. They were never out of a game, and it was almost like a different player every single night. I mean, the night that Austin Watson gets a contract extension, he has 4 points. They don't win the game, but he had 4 points and two goals.
Nick Bonino.
Cali Yarkroak has had moments. Nick Bonino with a hat trick against Chicago leads this team in goals. I mean, who would have had that?
Yeah, you knew that. You knew that was going to happen.
I mean, the 8 goals through 15 games for Nick Bonino, he's on pace for over 40 goals.
Yeah.
Which 22 is a career high for Nick Bonino. So,
and it's how he's scoring them, too. It's not, I mean, he's getting in the dirty areas of the ice and getting right in front, and that's how he's making it work. And they need guys like that. They've struggled at that at times over the years, and now they have that.
And they didn't replace that.
Yeah.
With Brian Boyle, with Wayne Simmonds. We made a big deal all last regular season up until the trade deadline that this team didn't have enough size. They didn't have enough net front presence, and they didn't replace that in the offseason.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was one of my biggest concerns coming into the regular season, is that they didn't really have a solution, or it didn't look like they really had a solution for Boyle and Simmons as exiting the lineup via free agency. But they've gotten it in small spurts,
yeah,
including from Nick Bonino.
Yeah, and he's been shooting it more, too. Like, I know the game in which he had the hat trick, he had a career-high 9 shots on goal, and I was actually standing right next to him when he was handed the stat sheet, and he looked at it and said, really? 9 shots? Like, that's what I did tonight? I mean, you could tell it even surprised him, but that's what they've asked him to do, and he's a veteran player, and he's stepped up to the moment. And, you know, now with Duchesne and Forsberg back, you can kind of – everything's starting to even itself out. Jofa is back together. They're using Kyle Turris up a little bit more, Duchesne on the wing. So Peter Laviolette is able to change some things around, and I think that's been good for this team.
Preds Insiders, Ryan Porth alongside Chase McCabe here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Smashville Live coming up at the top of the hour with former Preds captain and I would say Predators legend Mike Fisher coming up at 7 o'clock
no doubt
here at Brewhouse South. So through 15 games, Chase, give me one – player that has really stood out to you through the 15 games.
One player that has stood out to me, I'm going to go with Cali Yarncroke.
Why?
He has shown his versatility, that if you need him on the fourth line, he's got you. If you need him on the third line, he's got you. If you need him to play with Johansson and company, he's got you.
I see what you did there. You didn't say the first line or the second line. You just with Johansson and company.
I'm trying to work on that. It's hard sometimes. But the point is, he can do whatever is asked of him. And that's really why they traded for him back when they sent David Legwand to the Detroit Red Wings and acquired Cali Yarncroke, because they felt like they got a player that has that type of versatility, and we've seen it this year. He's healthy. And we saw it a couple years ago where he had a career year, and it's like, all right, here we go. And then things just kind of fell off with injury and all of that. But 11 points through 15 games, and he's been able to play all over the ice and really contribute. So he's somebody that stood out to me.
I remember sitting at this table the second week of the regular season with Jeremy K. Gover and saying, they might need to scratch Cali Yarncroke just to get him going.
We talked about that.
And the next game, they didn't scratch him. They put him with Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson. And ever since that point, Cali Yarncroke has been a really productive member of the offense. I would say Ryan Ellis.
Because good vote.
Last season, the career-high numbers offensively didn't add up to the eye test.
Yeah.
This season, he has 15 points through 15 games. Impressive in itself. But the eye test is where it should be with a player like Ryan Ellis. The eye test is where it was, or at least close to where it was 2 years ago when they won the President's Trophy. I don't know if he can consistently play like he did in the playoffs in 2017, where he played out of his mind for most of that postseason on their way to a Stanley Cup final appearance. But the fact that Ryan Ellis has rebounded from really a really poor lasting impression, I would put it, in that Dallas series in the first round last April, he's rebounded, he looks healthy, and he's playing like it.
And that's the key phrase. He looks healthy. I mean, David Poile was on with us on Darren Donick and Chase a few weeks ago, and I mean, he said it. He goes, he played 82 games, but he was never there was something off. He was battling through something, and you could tell. And now it seems like you have a fully healthy Ryan Ellis. He's second on the team in points, as you mentioned, second to only Roman Josi, the captain. That pairing is playing lights out right now. And look, even if they can't sustain it through 82 games, that's where the depth comes in. And we're starting to see even the third pairing has played better as of late. Dan Hamhuis, you know, has really contributed. So you're having other players step up. And so if Ryan Ellis, you know, goes through a dry spell or whatever, you're going to have players behind him. Fabro's only going to get better too. But I agree with you on Ellis.
So let's go flip side. You've liked Yarncroke, I've liked Ellis. Let's go flip side. Through 15 games, what is one player in your mind that you want to see more of as we might enter the dog days of the season as we usually do here around the holidays?
I have a feeling you and I are going to probably go with the same player. It could be on the minds of a lot of people, but
okay,
there's more to Mikael Granlund than we're seeing. Mikael Granlund right now has 4 points on the year, and he has played – up and down the lineup as well.
Well, he's gone 10 games without a point.
10 games without a point. Started off looking pretty good. Like, oh, okay, there's the Mikhail Granlund that they acquired. Now, I'm not saying I think it was a miss. I'm not saying that at all. I think he's a good player. It's just they got to do something to jumpstart him, similar to what they did with Cali Yarncroke. And I know when Forsberg got injured and then Duchesne, that changed things a little bit for Mikhail Granlund, and I just don't think he's recovered from that.
And they did put those three back together when Forsberg returned from injury, but they didn't have the same chemistry that they did in the first couple weeks of the season before Forsberg suffered that lower body injury in Vegas on that Tuesday night. So I would agree. Mikhail Granlund, you want to see more out of him. It's a contract year. I was expecting to see more out of him, and maybe the best is yet to come. He has two goals, two assists, 4 points through 15
games. It's 15
games. 10 games without a point, he's due. So is Craig Smith.
So is that where you're going?
That's where I'm going.
Okay.
Craig Smith, one goal through 15 games. The analytics and the fancy stats would say that he should be playing maybe better or producing more than he actually is.
Which is where I'll push back a little bit.
One goal and 5 points through 15 games. I get that he hasn't spent a lot of time in the top six this season. He has been manning a lot of time on the power play on that second unit, and the production still isn't there. That is a player that if he's on the third line or even the fourth line, if he can still contribute 15, 20 goals, that can be a really good feather in the hat of the Predators' offense, but we haven't seen that yet.
He's always been streaky, though. Craig Smith has been streaky throughout his career.
He has been consistent from season to season, but streaky within the seasons.
Yes. So here's where I'll say to that, because Chris Mason and I were talking about this today on the Midday Show. Craig Smith has created a lot of opportunities for other people. He has created a lot of these plays that have led to a Kyle Turris goal or a Rocco Grimaldi or Nick Bonino or whatever. He's created a lot of chances for others. Mm-hmm. He just hasn't gotten rewarded for it. So I'm of the belief that in true Craig Smith fashion, they're going to come in bunches. Like once he gets one under his belt, I know he's already scored once on the season, but once he scores a goal, I think he's going to pop a few off just because that's what he's done. I think he's playing well, but to your point, He's the type of player that in a contract year, you're paying him good money. You got to see some production that's showing up on a stat sheet.
I think there would be maybe a little bit more focus on Craig Smith through this point in the season if the other depth players weren't contributing like they have been, like Kelly Yarncroke or Nick Bonino or Austin Watson or Colton Sissons or even Kyle Turris. The fact that those players have bounced back and have had quality starts to their seasons, I think, is a reason why we're not talking about Craig Smith as much as we could be if the offense wasn't looking like it is.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I still, I'm not at the point where with Smith or Granlund that I'm worried. I think that they're both going to get it going. It's a long way to go. But I will say from those two, Craig Smith has definitely been playing a complete game outside of scoring.
I'm not worried with Smith. I just want to see more.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's been getting less ice time than his career average. His career average is around 15 minutes per night of ice time, and he's at about 13 and a half.
And that could be part of it, too.
Absolutely. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Port. This is Preds Insiders live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Coming up next, David Poile has re-signed Roman Josi, and he has re-signed Austin Watson. Two boxes checked off early in the season for David Poile. What's next for the GM? We'll get to that next. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. You are listening to Preds Insiders live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, the site of Smashville Live at 7 o'clock with Mike Fisher. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in. Preds Insiders live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Ryan Porth alongside Chase McCabe, Darren Donick, and Chase. You can also catch his work on the Predators Radio Network. Preds Insiders brought to you every Monday and Wednesday by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. They are just a stone's throw from Brewhouse South here in Cool Springs.
Can you prove that? Can you go out and throw a stone right at them?
I don't know about a stone.
That's what you just said.
But I could probably, on a good day, I could probably hit my three wood.
Okay.
I couldn't hit my driver there because it would probably hit the mall because I have zero accuracy.
Don't do that.
With the driver, but I could probably hit my three wood.
Okay.
And reach Cool Springs Lizard.
We might have to, Gina from Promotions, write that down on the video ideas of him with the three wood trying to hit a building.
Okay.
That could be good.
Okay. Preds Insiders also brought to you by Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Kerry Zier Remax Elite, and Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard, downtown Nashville. So I teased the question before the break, Chase, of with Yosi signed, with Austin Watson signed, what's next for David Poile? How would you answer that question?
Well, I can answer it pretty accurately because I know his answer because I asked him the same question on Tuesday. I think they're done for a while. I think right now you let this simmer. You got your most important signing done, and you did it in the first month of the season, which I think was always a goal. They probably wanted to do it in the summer. David Poile mentioned that they were hoping to get it done before they actually did, but the fact of the matter is now Roman Yossi is signed for 8 more years, and then we weren't really expecting anything else for a while. And that same week, some of us joked about it with the GM and then found out that Austin Watson had re-signed for 3 years. So,
yes.
I that one's cool, too, because of everything that he's gone through, and Austin has talked about that openly.
Agreed.
The organization has stood behind him, and now he's here for 3 more years and will be a major part of this team. But right now, I think you wait on Craig Smith. I think you wait on Mikhail Granlin. There are others, some defensemen, Dan Hamuse, Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber, that are due up, and Rocco Grimaldi's only on a 1-year deal. So you don't have to do anything necessarily right now. I think you got to get through some trades, possibly, the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, I think they're good because they got the most important, nothing against Austin Watson, but they got the most important one in Roman Yossi done.
Well, if I'm David Poile, I'm not making any more free agent signings on your own roster until after the season.
You're waiting that long.
So the free agents, Mikhail Granlin, Craig Smith, Rocco Grimaldi, Mika Salamaki, Dan Hamuse, Yannick Weber, Matt Irwin, I'm not signing any of those 7 before the end of the season. With Granlin and Smith, if I'm David Poile, I want to see how they react.
Yeah.
Yossi and Watson got theirs, and I'm not saying that they're sitting back saying, where's mine, but I think that has to be a little bit of motivation.
Yeah.
That 2 of the unrestricted free agents on this team got signed, and let them prove it. Let them kind of not battle, but let them both prove it individually that they are worth being brought back either on a short-term or a long-term deal beyond this season.
I think it's also, maybe this is the wrong word, but a little bit of a test. You always kind of want to see how your guys react. And that locker room was thrilled for Roman Yossi. They were thrilled for Austin Watson. And now I think you have to wait your turn. And so I agree with you. I think it's a prove it. It's kind of, okay, let's see how the rest of the season goes. Now, when they get to the trade deadline, if they feel confident in one of those 2 guys, and I'll say those 2 because those are the biggest contracts right now, then go ahead and do it. But only if you are 100% sure you're ready, to go ahead and make that move. But at the same time, one thing that you have to consider is Roman Yossi's salary is essentially going to go up by a Mikhail Granlin contract. You basically take Mikhail Granlin's contract and you give it to Yossi.
Pretty much.
And that's how his salary is going to increase.
And we don't know if the salary cap is going to increase.
Yeah.
Even if it does increase, we don't know by how much, and we won't know until next June.
And David Poile alluded to that the other day, that he doesn't know how much it's going to go up. They've predicted over the last few years it was going to go up a lot more than it actually did. So he kind of leans towards that it might continue to be that trend until, and he didn't say this, but until Seattle gets in the league, I think that could push it up a little bit more. And that's also something that they have to consider. I know it's a few years off, but you do have to think that way of when you sign these big deals. I mean, we know Roman Yossi, you have to use not that you weren't before. You're going to have to protect him because of his no-move clause.
Mm-hmm.
But then what are you going to do elsewhere? So that's something they have to consider.
I think David Poile's next move this season, outside of bringing people up from Milwaukee because of injuries or what have you, I think his next move this season is a trade of some sort.
Probably for a defenseman,
either a
third pair,
either a third pair defenseman, or let's just say hypothetically, not saying it's going to get to this point, but let's say Craig Smith continues to struggle in terms of production, and you're trying to maybe get another forward in place of Craig Smith, and you swap Craig Smith for a defenseman. I was reading Pierre LeBrun's piece this week on The Athletic where he said the Sabres and the Hurricanes both have defensemen that could be up for trade at some point this season.
Bogosian,
they both have
one of those.
Surplus. I can't remember who he listed for Buffalo, but two that he listed for Carolina were Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Hayden Fleury. I mean, either of them would be third-pair defensemen.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you trade Craig Smith for a third-pair defenseman, but I think those are things that David Poile will look at as the season goes along. How can you improve the depth of the defense? You know you have depth offensively.
Yeah.
How can you improve the depth of the blue line when you know Dan Hamhuis and Yannick Weber and Matt Irwin have all had their struggles early on this season?
Well, and that's going to be his priority because, to go back to something on Smith and Granlund, I think he waits because he's also keeping him – he's having a lot of meetings with Scott Nickel. What's Tolvanen and Pitlick really looking like? And others, but those are the two that we all seem to gravitate towards of how are they playing? How are they progressing?
They both have the highest NHL ceiling in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Right. And so I think he has to look at it that way of, okay, if by mid-year Ellie Tolvanen is ready, like everybody comes to him and goes, David, he's good. He's ready to go. Then that changes some things because you bring him up and then you might decide, okay, one of these two guys I don't necessarily have room for now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get to a certain point in the season, probably the deadline, and it's like, Pitlick, Tolvanen, they need a little more time. They need to season a little bit more. Then that also changes things. So that's why I don't think he's in a hurry.
Well, it's a great point. Let's hypothetically say Tolvanen tears it up between now and February. Then you might say, okay, maybe I would use Craig Smith in a trade or somebody else in a trade to go get that defenseman that can add beef to that blue line. Because if any of the top four get hurt,
right,
Josi, Ekholm, Ellis, or Fabbro, you're going to be relying on one of those three defensemen that I listed earlier, Hamhuis, Weber, or Irwin, that have had their struggles early on.
Or Santini.
Whomever.
Tomori.
Whomever.
Yeah.
That probably isn't worth being placed in a top four or getting top 4 minutes. So I think you have to add another third pair defenseman for the trade deadline to beef up your blue line going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Also have that security because we all know you can't go through an 82-game season with everybody being healthy.
Well, 82 games plus if you're going all the way. I mean, we remember when they went to the Stanley Cup final, they got there.
They used like 17 forwards.
Yeah, and they were without Johansson, Fiala. I mean, that was
Craig Smith. Colin Wilson.
Fisher was hurt at times. So, I mean, they were down quite a bit, and that's when we saw the emergence of Colton Sissons and Freddie Gaudreau and names like that. So, yeah, it's a good point, and that's why you take some time to evaluate while you still have those pieces that if you need to use them to get something else, you can.
Coming up next, speaking of moves, David Poile made a move 2 years ago yesterday that we will break down coming up next. Plus, is the Winter Classic jersey the best jersey the Preds have ever donned? They haven't donned it yet. They will on January 1. But is it the best Preds jersey of all time? We will get to that next. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. We are 30 minutes away from Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South, where Mike Fisher will be joining Braden Gall in these chairs that we're sitting in right now.
The Braden Gall is standing right in front of us. He's looking just dashing. He's ready to go.
Dashing?
Dashing? I don't know. Whatever. What's wrong with that?
Is that even a term?
Probably not. Hi, Braden. Good to see you. Thanks for coming out.
Like, Dashing, I've never heard that one. That's a new one on me. But
Dapper? Right. Dapper, is that
Dapper.
Better?
Dapper. Dapper is better than Dashing.
Okay, sorry.
Dashing is like one of the reindeer, right?
Dasher. I think I combined.
Yeah.
Just move on.
Something like that. So Preds Insiders, as you may know, Chase, is now on Apple Podcasts.
I've heard this.
So you can rate, you can review, and you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It will be available on other platforms here soon, so we are excited about that. So just search Preds Insiders on Apple Podcasts to subscribe today.
So proud of you. Just going places.
Going big time. So 2 years ago yesterday, November 5th, 2017, Kyle Turris became a Nashville Predator.
He sure did.
In a three-team trade with the Ottawa Senators and the Colorado Avalanche. That also included Matt Duchene, who is now with the Nashville Predators. And the Preds gave up Sam Girard. They gave up Vladislav Kamenev. They gave up draft picks. A monster three-team trade that was constructed at like 5 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Which is like the last time you would expect a trade to go down of that magnitude. But it went down, and 2 years later, how would you assess how that trade has panned out?
Whew. Well, considering Matt Duchene is here and no longer in Ottawa, I mean, that's a part of it. You look at the Colorado Avalanche, I think Sam Girard is a big part of their makeup and why they are so good. He's one of the top blue liners on that team. And I think even though he's had a good start to the year, the overall body of work of Kyle Turris since he's been with Nashville is still incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can really give a true grade on it 2 years later. Again, with the Duchene signing, you feel good there. But I think Turris is contributing. He's taking the most of the minutes that are given to him this season. So I feel better about it than I did last year, because I know last year everybody was like, oh, no, what is going on with Kyle Turris? I mean, he's been injured and all of that. But so I think it's looking better. But, you know, right now it's still a work in progress 2 years later. That's how I feel. That's how I address it.
I would say it's a definite work in progress, and that they need more from Kyle Turris for that trade to look good for David Poile.
Yeah.
To be completely frank, especially with the success of Sam Girard in Colorado and what he's doing there with Cale Makar and the Colorado Avalanche. So, you know, last season I think was a really tough one for Kyle Turris, and it was a tough one for a lot of us to kind of digest considering the history that Kyle Turris has in the National Hockey League and just like what in the world is happening to this player. Player that consistently gets 50 to 60 points a season, and then he has 27 points in 55 games, and you're thinking, is this guy, is he falling off a cliff? Are we at that point in his career, just at the start of his contract?
Yeah.
He's bounced back this year, and he's playing at a higher level. He's playing with more confidence in a Preds uniform than he did last year. But I think you said it best that this is still a work in progress, but I think if you had asked people back, I don't know, 6 months ago, the concern level would be a lot higher.
Absolutely. But here's the thing that you have to factor in. As we know, Peter Laviolette likes to change. He likes to adapt. That's why he's made it in the league as long as he has as a head coach. That's why he's had the success that he has had as a head coach. And it's also the reason that the Nashville Predators, that he's been the head coach the longest in his career. This is the longest tenure he's had as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So with all that said, I think that Kyle Turris had to adapt to that system that is ever-changing. That it just – that's harder for some players. And I think Peter Laviolette's system was difficult at times. At first it worked and things were clicking and he was on the same page with Craig Smith and, you know, okay, things were looking good. But as Peter Laviolette likes to change things and move stuff around, I think it was hard for him to catch up. This year, his confidence is back. I think the World Championships probably helped that a little bit.
It did.
And then coming in with just a new mindset, putting the noise to the side, because we all know that there were rumors out there that they were trying to trade him and and all that stuff, I can understand that it weighs on a player. And also, I think you have to consider the fact that even after Kyle Turris was acquired, and you, I kind of looked at it as they didn't get Duchesne, they got Turris. Okay, there's the other center. They're going to move on. The Duchesne to Nashville rumors never went away.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand how that's a part of it, too. Now that Duchesne is here, that's done. That book is closed. I just think there are some outside things that Kyle Turris had to move on from, and he's been able to. And now he has his confidence, and he's just playing better. And I think he fits more in the system now that he's been in it for a few years.
Makes sense. Now, the one quote back last March when he was a healthy scratch for a couple games, he basically said, I just need to play my game.
Right.
And we all kind of sat back and said, okay, what does that mean?
Right.
That you just need to play your game. And I think we're seeing that so far this season. I kind of think the entire roster, not just Kyle Turris, the entire roster kind of had a reset button moment in the offseason with the power play,
yep,
with just the overall feeling of the team. I think a change like P.K. Subban for Matt Duchesne helped with that. But
I think Peter Laviolette had a reset, too. I think it was from top to bottom. Just how, because he's said it, that he's turned a lot of things over to the players, and, you know, he's evolving, he's adapting. And I don't mean any of that critical. I just, that's mm-hmm. how you survive. That's how you last a long time. You have to change. I gained a lot of respect for him in his press conference at the end of the season when he took so much ownership to the things going wrong, that they didn't have the success in the playoffs, that the power play wasn't working. I thought that, you know, that's not easy to do. And so I think you've seen some changes with him, and it's reflected on the rest of the team as well.
Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5, The Game, live from Brew House South in Cool Springs. If you're in attendance or if you're going to be here at Brew House South in Cool Springs, you can register to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Vancouver Canucks on November 21st. Vancouver having a very good season so far.
Yeah,
so
how about that?
That could be an interesting game at Bridgestone Arena, November 21st. See our promotions team where you can register to win a pair of tickets to Preds Canucks on November 21st. Compliments of New Amsterdam Vodka.
The Canuckleheads.
The Blues beat them in overtime last night.
I saw that. How about the Blues?
I fell asleep during that game.
How about the Blues? 5 in a row.
With no Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yeah, they're going to reevaluate after 5 months, and it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
What does that mean? They've won 5 in a row.
Credit to them. So I've been putting this out on Twitter.
I've seen this.
The best Preds jersey of all time. Now, they released it. They released the Winter Classic jersey Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
An absolute thing of beauty.
Love it.
And it's rare that an instant reaction to a jersey is that well received. A lot of times you see something new, something you haven't seen before with your favorite team, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I like
what
that.
What is that?
I don't know if I like that change.
I don't like that. Yeah.
But that jersey that they unveiled on Broadway Saturday morning was a thing of absolute beauty.
Yeah, I agree. I loved it.
And do you think it's the best jersey they will ever sport?
Well, you can never say ever, but
You could.
I loved the blue third jersey that they wore for a couple of years.
We've been getting a lot of tweets about old third jersey that I think it was 08, 09, 09, 10, somewhere there.
But here's the thing on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it at first.
And
this one,
it grew on you.
Yeah, it grew on me. This one I loved from the moment I saw it. So I might say yeah on it, that it could be the best one that they've ever rolled out there. I mean, I like the current white version, like the road jerseys, the road whites with the gold on the shoulders. Mm-hmm. I really like those because I'm old school, so the white jerseys I think are really clean. I'm a big fan of white.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys fan, they wear white at home, so that could be why.
Stop it.
But sorry, Sean, I know you're probably listening. But yeah, how about them Cowboys? But I think it is probably the best jersey that they put out there. And I'll say this. I'll give, you know, props to the Dallas Stars. I like theirs, too. So those teams are going to look good in their threads come January 1st.
It's going to be a good-looking game.
It is.
Those Winter Classic jerseys are the best jerseys the Preds have ever rolled out there. They haven't even worn them yet. In my opinion, those are the best they have ever put together.
So you are a big fan.
I am all in. I was a little, skeptical when they unveiled the shoulder patch logo.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really know where it was going. I had an idea it was going to be a throwback to the Dixie Flyers. But when that came out, didn't really know where it was going and how it's panned out. Nothing but good things to say about that Winter Classic jersey.
I agree. And I think they did it on purpose because they released the shoulder patch and you're like, ooh, what is that? How's that going to work in? And then when you see the finished product, you go, oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I like it. Yeah. The Dixie Flyers, definitely a big fan. So I was hoping they would go that direction. Just saying, anybody that's important with the Preds organization listening out there, if you were to do a gold version, I think that'd be cool too. Just saying.
Good
maybe,
thought.
Maybe next year, if you wanted to do that, that'd be cool.
And I think they're going to be wearing them a couple more times after the Winter Classic, as Mike Fisher has just walked in the building. So,
what does he think of the jersey? That's what.
I'm sure Mike Fisher is a huge fan. Maybe he'll come back for one game, and and play in the Winter Classic just to wear that jersey. I'm sure that will happen.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out next hour. Ryan Porth alongside Chase McCabe here, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Coming up next, Mike Fisher is in the building. What is his lasting legacy in a Preds uniform? We'll get to that next. Plus, we'll look ahead to tomorrow night's game with the Colorado Avalanche. That's all next on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5, the game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth alongside Chase McCabe here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Mike Fisher is here. He will be on the air starting at 7 with Braden Gall for Smashville Live. A lot of people showing up here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Thanks to everyone for coming out. Mike Fisher taking some photos. Yeah, photo line has already started. So a lot of fun here at Brewhouse South. Looking forward to hearing how I heard he stepped on the ice today for the first time in a long time. So interested to hear how that
went.
I'm sure that will come up during Smashville Live.
Well, because I told him that we're trying to pull him out of retirement for the Winter Classic just so he can wear that new jersey. So that's how that came up.
Did he commit anything to it?
No, he has not.
Okay.
He has not. He left.
I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, he left. Now he's taking pictures, so I think look, he's got two young kids. I think he's enjoying that.
He's good. So Mike Fisher's lasting legacy in a Preds uniform. We did a top 20 Preds of all time back in, I believe it was September of 2017 as a radio station at ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Mike Fisher was sixth on that list. Pecorine was one.
Yep.
Shea Weber was two.
Yep.
Tomas Vokoun, three. Paul Kariya, four. Roman Josi, five. Mike Fisher, six. Would you put him in your top five of all time?
Yeah, I would, because I think Josi moves up at this point. Because that was, what, 2 years ago we did that?
September of 2017.
Yeah. I would move Josi up, and I would move Mike up into the top five.
Paul Kariya comes down?
Yeah.
I mean, the lasting impact of Fisher on the franchise, I mean, the off-ice element of it.
It's right in front of us right now.
He hasn't played since Game 7 against Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Back in 2018. And here he is, a packed Brewhouse South for Mike Fisher.
And that was that last season, too, where he came back. And, you know, it was that situation where it was a good team. They ended up winning the President's Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
They go toe-to-toe with Winnipeg, take seven games, just not enough. But he came back and was that something extra for the locker room, and they welcomed him back. And that shows you right there the lasting impact that he had, that you know, you have someone that's like, you know what, I got a little bit left, I'm going to come play. And it's like, come on, we want you, come on. That shows you right there just – how important he was. And then the fans that are here tonight,
yep,
lining up right now to get pictures with Mike. he's one of those that he is going to be associated with this franchise forever and ever.
When we're doing this show 10 years from now, this response will still be the same if Mike Fisher's able to come out and do a show.
And nothing against those other guys that you named. I mean, Tomas Vokoun is hugely important for the organization, but the goaltenders and kind of, you know, he has connections to Pekka Rinne because Pekka was in the organization when Vokoun was still here. Paul Kariya was the first big free agent signing by the Nashville Predators, and he was able to, you know, there are different eras with this team, and the Paul Kariya era took them from, okay, they got into the playoffs, they're there, to being a contender.
They went from scrappy to really good.
Yeah, and really there was a season, I think, was it his first season, the year that they made the Forsberg trade? That was a good trade.
06-07, yeah.
That team, what could have been? Without the injuries, I mean, what could have been with that team? So you have to give credit where credit is due to a lot of these guys, but Mike Fisher's legacy with this organization is a lasting one.
I have a lot of memories of just watching and being around Mike Fisher when he was in a Preds uniform. Three that stand out. One, came in this establishment. I was here watching the Preds play in Minnesota, and he scored the game-winning goal of a miraculous third-period comeback. I don't know why I remember that.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting at the bar, which is literally a stone's throw from here.
It is. You could throw a stone there.
I could probably get a sand wedge over there.
Yep.
Not just a three-wood.
Yep.
Remember that. That was a big goal early in his Preds career. Obviously, the triple overtime, game four, 2016 against San Jose at, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning that night.
Yep.
And scores in triple overtime. Ekholm with the shot from the point. Mike Fisher puts in the rebound. And the legend of Go Ape, Everybody Go Ape, was born in that moment.
Yep.
I think everybody remembers where they were at 1 o'clock in the morning on May 6th, 2016.
I was in the media room.
I was in the control room.
Yeah,
at the station
that game. That's right.
And I tackled Joel Kidder, former highlight producer of the Preds Radio Network, when that goal went in. And then just the sheer stunned nature of his comeback.
Yeah,
being announced.
Like, it was one of those, we get the email of big there's a big announcement, and we're kind of going, you know, most of them we can figure out. Like the one a few weeks ago. Okay,
with Romanelsi?
Yeah, we kind of knew what that was.
1 + 1 = 2 that morning.
But this one, we were like, what? Have they made a trade? There was nobody to sign? Like, what's going on? And then it starts getting out of, whoa,
he's coming back. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. I remember those, covering it that day. The first memory I have is my dad and I had gone to an event, like an expo kind of thing. And it was the day of his first game with the Predators. And at the time, we get tickets here and there and, do like 3-game plans and stuff. We didn't have tickets to the game. Well, they announced that they were doing a special of $12 tickets for that day's game. I want to say it was against the Coyotes, maybe. Whatever his first game was.
Your guess is better than mine on that one.
So I was trying to look it up, but I wasn't fast enough. But we got the $12 tickets, had been out all day at this thing. I was exhausted, but I remember going to the first game with number 12 in the lineup. And it was, I think it was a Saturday. But that was cool, being at his first game. And then everything you mentioned, that playoff run, because that was the same year that they beat the Ducks.
Yep.
For the first time in the playoffs. And I remember, him being a big part of that. His wife, Carrie, played on the band stage for the first time.
Yep. He also won the faceoff of the game-time goal in Game 5 against Anaheim back in 2011 when they forced overtime, and then they won the game in overtime, the first-ever playoff overtime victory, Jared Smithson scoring the overtime winner that night. He won the faceoff with, I don't know, 30 seconds left. That went back to Cody Franzen, then Shea Weber, then back of the net behind
Ray Emery. It's amazing you remember that. as vividly as you do.
But I don't remember a thing that I learned in high school.
Yeah, no.
Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mike Fisher played 429 games in a Preds uniform, spanning 8 seasons.
It's hard to believe that those 8 seasons came and went as fast as they did.
Mm-hmm.
But and now he's, you know, at the second stage of his life after hockey and is here with us tonight. But it, they were memorable 8 years because they did a lot of good things, going to a Stanley Cup final, winning, you know, a playoff series and all of that. He was the one, he was one of those guys that took them to that next era.
30 seconds or less. Your expectation tomorrow night, Preds in Colorado, big game in the Central Division.
I think Colorado is hungry. So I think that this team, they've had a few days off, had a few days of team bonding. They're going to have to be ready because Colorado's lost 3 in a row. They're without 2 of their best players. They're on the struggle bus right now. You can't take them for granted.
They didn't look good last night in Dallas.
No, but how many times do you see a team like that bounce back?
Oh, for sure.
So you've got to be ready.
They still have a lot of talent, even though they don't have Mika Rantanen or Gabriel Landeskog.
Absolutely.
Pre-game at 7, puck drop at 8. Tomorrow night, Preds and Avalanche. But coming up next, Mike Fisher on Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Braden Gall will be hosting alongside the former captain. That's all coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.